And I'm going to move into the scripture lesson for the week. It's in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 10. So again, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read from verses 10 through 20. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you have sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Morning, Water Dam. Good to be with all of you as we gather here and celebrate what the Lord is doing. Also, getting ready to celebrate Easter. I don't know about you, but it is a blessing to think about our Lord and Savior coming and walking and riding in on the back of a donkey right into the teeth of what he was facing, which was to be hung on a Roman cross for the sins of mankind. We are thankful for his coming to us, and we look forward to his coming again. So as we come to him today, as we think about contentment, let's look to him now and find our grace and sufficiency in him. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you now, all of our anxieties that we tried to talk about in the last couple of weeks, we know that you are the peace that we can have, that you are the God of peace that will go with us, that guides us. You are the peace that guards us. And we ask, Lord, that you would just bless our time today. We thank you for all those that are here, the gallery of people that are here, that have all kinds of things that have happened to them, all things that they've went through. We do pray for each one as they think about your presence in their life, as you come to us again afresh in the scriptures, as we see you coming to us in the first time, your first advent, as when you came and died on the cross. We look forward to your return, and we look forward to being with you and reunited with our loved ones. We ask now, Lord, that you would help us focus our minds on what you have for us in the scriptures today as we think about our contentment, that it doesn't come from things or places or circumstances, but it comes from a person. That person is in Jesus Christ. And so give us strength today, Lord, to understand all these things and give us a sense of your presence and your power today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we focused last week on the last part of the book of Philippians, we learned how to end the cycle of anxiety and enjoy the peace of God that guards us and the God of peace that guides us. And that we were told that there's blessing that comes from thinking about what is morally excellent and what is approved by God, what does God find pleasing. And so as we meditate and we renew our minds in the will of God, we are able to do the word, as we meditate and we review and renew our minds in the word of God, we are able to do the will of God as we reflect on what he wants us to do. And so now we move on to thinking about being content. Paul has just received a gift. As you can imagine, it was a great gift. And as he's closing his letter, he's thanking them for this gift that Epaphroditus has brought. Can you imagine? It's been 10 years since he's been given a gift. And he hasn't heard from them, but he gets this visit. Epaphroditus tracks him down and finds him in prison or in jail, locked in a house maybe, shackled to a prison on a regular basis. And you can imagine how that would feel if all of a sudden the church just reached out to you and blessed you with not only a visit from someone that you know and that loves you, but also a gift from that church that everybody in that church was thinking about you. You can imagine what that would feel like. And so he says, I believe one of the best passages about contentment is found in this passage where he says in verse 11, for have learned whatever situation I am to be content. And my God, in verse 19, will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Both of those passages are come out of this rejoicing in the Lord greatly because of their thanking them for their gift and their concern over his life. As you can imagine, he probably felt pretty lonely in that prison. One dictionary defines contentment as the state of being mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are. And so today we have to think about ourselves. If we find anybody that's truly content with his or her condition in life, being satisfied with what they have or who they are or where they're going, is a rare jewel when we look for anybody that we can find somebody that's just truly content all the times. And some of us are more content than others, and they just have that part of their nature, but we're not born with contentment, right? You've never seen a baby content. You've never seen a child content. A child has to learn contentment, and as we as adults also have to learn contentment. Jesus said these words in chapter 6, verse 25. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? We're not supposed to worry about those things. We're supposed to be content. Contentment is not something that you're born with. You have to learn it. Contentment is something you learn over time and trials and testing, and it's something that God gives you. But contentment is probably best defined, as I've heard, is an inner peace despite our circumstances in the fact that we are secure in Christ. An inner peace despite our circumstances because it comes from being right with God and knowing that he is in control of all things happening to us. Now, it's important for us to understand that when we believe that God is in control, that he's all-powerful, he's omnipotent, he's sovereign, he's all-powerful, and he is somebody that provides for our needs. He's governing our world. So we need to trust that. And Paul was talking about what he learned about contentment. He says, I have three principles to organize our thoughts around contentment. Paul said he's learned contentment while trusting in God's provision, whatever situation he is in. So he's saying that I have learned to trust in God's providence for him, despite whatever circumstances he has been in. Verse 10 there, it tells us that he was satisfied with what he has and who he was and where he was going. It didn't matter to him that he was in a prison. He was in a Roman prison. He had prayed to go to Rome all of his life, that he wanted to preach to the Roman people. He got his wish. He ended up in a Roman prison. And in verse 10, it sees here this comment. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you've had no opportunity, no season to express it. And now that I am speaking of being in need, not that I'm speaking of being in need, but I have learned whatever situation I am to be content. Now, Paul, if you think about it, Paul's been in a lot of different situations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he describes this in verses 24 to 27. He wrote about all those circumstances he had been through. He says in verse 24, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food in cold and exposure. And Paul yet says, for I have learned, in whatever situation I am in, to be content. Now, I would be having a pity party all the way back in the first part of that. And if you go to 2 Corinthians 12, there's an interesting thing that we often quote, but maybe you've forgotten where it is. But in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul says something. He says, well, let's just do verse 8 there, because he's prayed. It's not that he didn't say that I liked what I was going through. He said I was content with what I was going through. I was content in Christ. And so it's important for us to see in verse 8 there, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is right after what we just read. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So as we see this framing of Paul's mind, he's trusting in the provision of God for him, no matter what his circumstances are, no matter whatever situation he is in, he says, I'm going to trust you. He says in verse 12 there, I have been brought low, and I know how to abound in every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. So Paul is saying, I am content with a little or a lot. I'm content. He said, I'm content with poverty, but he says, he didn't say I like poverty. I don't know anybody that likes to not have enough to be able to spend on things that we like to do. He's not saying that. He said he's content. And so Paul instructed Timothy, he even said this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. He says to Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And then he goes on to say in that verse, in verse 7 there, for we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Now it's interesting because no one ever hooks up a U-Haul to a hearse because you can't take it with you. And you know that. And so it's important for us, yet not to chase after those things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that the Gentiles chase after those things, but your heavenly Father will provide everything you need. He says he'll provide your needs, not your greeds. And so as we think about what Paul is saying here, he says, I am content no matter what. Because what happens to us when we chase after things that we don't need, to chase after riches? In verse 9 there of 1 Timothy 6, he says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. It's important for us to understand here. I have seen a lot of people in my lifetime, and some of the most happiest people that I've met, the most contented people, have been the most poorest people. And a lot of times you see missionaries, they go into all these conditions of stuff of where they're going to live and everything, and they get a hut, not a house. And they eat food that, you know, if they don't have a Burger King or a McDonald's, I'm in trouble. And yet they're content to live in those situations. That's a call from God. That's something that has been learned and has been taught to them and that has been given to them through Christ. You see, sufficiency is not in ourselves. The Stoics used to say that contentment is being sufficient in yourself. Like you can pull up your own bootstraps. That you can do it on your own strength. You can just say, I'll just be content, be content. You keep repeating it to yourself and maybe it'll happen. But that's not something that Paul says. Paul says, I've learned to be content by trusting in God's provision. How often have I seen people who have had a lot of money, after a while, they start to stray away from God's plan for their life? And so it's so important for us to trust God's provision for us, whether we have a little or a lot. So many people are never content with where they are or what they're doing or the wages they are paid. They complain about everything. There's a story about a monk named Brother John. Brother John entered a monastery of silence. And the abbot said, "Brother, this is a monastery of silence, and you are welcome to stay as long as you'd like, but you will not speak until I direct you to do so." So Brother John lived there for 5 years before the abbot said, "Brother John, you have lived here for 5 years. What do you have to say? You may speak 2 words." And Brother John said, "Hard bed." "I'm sorry to hear that," said the abbot. "We'll get you a new bed." And after another 5 years, Brother John was called to the abbot. He says, "You may say another 2 words, Brother John. Cold food." And the abbot assured him that the food should be better in the future. And on the 15th anniversary, Brother John again was called to the abbot's office. "You may again say another 2 words." Brother John said, "I quit." To the abbot replied, "I suspected this is for the best. All you have done is complain about everything here." I love that one. I see myself in that, you know. I see myself in that. And I throw my pity party. And how often if I forget to take my joy in the Lord, to be content in the provision of God, that God has supplied all of our needs if we just sit there and think about it for just a few minutes and contemplate it. There's a proverb in chapter 30, verse 7. He says, "Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die." This is Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. "Remove from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you. Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord." What a statement that is. And that we think about contentment. Paul's contentment is not dependent on his circumstances or things or how much money he makes. Paul did not look to any of these things. Paul looked not to things but a person. His strength came from the Lord. Contentment is found in trusting in God's provision, whatever situation you're in, whatever circumstance you find yourself having to deal with. But God is saying, "Trust me in my provision for you. Trust my providence in your life." Contentment is found in trusting God's provision. Contentment also comes from relying on God's strength. Christ who strengthens me. Relying on Christ who strengthens me. Now, you've heard this. You've probably repeated it. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that word the word strengthen means, it comes from the root word of dunamis, which is power, dynamite. People often quote that. But this is indunamu. E-N-D-U-N-A-M-O-O is the phonetic spelling. Indunamu. In simple terms, it means to put power in, to strengthen. To give gas to a car would be an example, to give it power. It means to make strong or vigorous, to strengthen from within, to strengthen, enable, or empowered inwardly. And Paul says, "My strength comes from the Lord. I can do all things." It's not in a place, but a person. Paul is trusting in the provision of God, whatever situation God has placed him, and relying on the strength of God is to enable him to do the things that God has required of him. He says, "I can do all things." Now, that verse probably encompasses a lot, and people quote that as if it's some kind of a Christian superpower, you know, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I mean, what we have to understand is that this is trusting in the Lord and doing all things in the Lord's will, what he wants you to do for him. He doesn't ask you to do more than what he would empower you to do. And so we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so the context of the verse is found in God giving power to endure my circumstances. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. What can I do? Well, I can learn to be content. I can learn to be content. Now, I was preaching this to myself this week, and I was sitting there thinking about, you know, because I can be a little bit of a complainer at times, a mumbler. You remember the word, do nothing without complaining? That word is a Greek word called gugusmas. You remember me talking about that Greek word, gugusmas? And so it's a thing that we all struggle with at times, and we need to know that we can learn to be content. Paul says in verse 12 there, look at what he says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's faced times of abundance, and yet he has faced many times of lack, being in need, faced many trials. Regardless, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be content. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation that I face. Learn to be content. We always seem to want what we don't have. I read a little story about an airline pilot flying over Tennessee mountains. He pointed out a lake to his co-pilot, and he said, you see that little lake, he said? When I was a kid, I used to sit in a rowboat down there fishing. And every time a plane would fly overhead, I'd look up and I'd wish I was flying it. Now, I'm flying the plane and I wish I was down in the rowboat fishing. Isn't that true? How we often want what we don't have. If you're not content, you can learn to be content in the person of Jesus Christ. And you can look for your contentment not in circumstances, but in a person, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to this quote from James Stewart, wrote this. He said, Christ is the redeemed man's new environment. The human body, by the act of eating and drinking and breathing, is continually drawing forth strength upon the resources of its physical environment. So the Christian spirit, by prayer and worship and surrender, makes contact and keeps contact with its spiritual environment, which is Jesus Christ. So the soul draws for its strength upon the supplies of power which is in Christ, which are inexhaustible. Christ is the power that we need to draw from. It's available to us. So when we find ourselves in discontentment, that we can pray to God and quote this promise that I can do all things. I can learn to be content from Christ who strengthens me. Contentment is trusting in God's provision for you. Contentment is relying on Christ's strength for you, God's strength for you. And so as we think about it, the third principle is this. Contentment is encouraged in the family of God that you belong to. It's nurtured in the family of God you belong to. What does that mean? We know Paul loved the Philippian church, and they loved him. He was their founding pastor. Paul has a gift brought to him by Epaphroditus, who traveled 800 miles to not only deliver a gift, but to offer comfort and care and concern. How often do we neglect belonging to the body of Christ? I'm not just talking about believing, but belonging. Becoming a member of the church, not just an attender, not just a believer, but a belonger. And we celebrate what we replicate. We replicate what we celebrate. Paul celebrates over two things that he is part of a healthy family of God, and that is fellowship with the Philippian church. It says in verse 10, it produces joy and encouragement. Paul was just received the gift. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, he says in verse 10. That now at the length you have revived your concern for me. That word revived means that it has blossomed. It has like a tree coming into blossom in the spring, or it's been dormant all winter. You have revived it. For me, you're concerned for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity, no season to be able to give. What group are you connected to in fellowship in this church? Who brings you joy that you are connected to? Is there someone you can call in this church when the chips are down? Are you belonging to the body of Christ?
Pastor Skip Hetzig says there's a problem in the church when people are believers, but they are not belongers. They miss the joy of true Christian fellowship. Churches sometimes have large membership roles, but very few members. I remember when I was part of a traditional church, and we had 400 and plus in our membership role. And I would hear, like, where is all these people at? Because only about 150 of them show up on Sunday morning. And I found out that a lot of people would say, yeah, that's my church, and they drove right by it. But they would always tell you, yeah, that's my church. I still claim that as my church. I said, do you ever think about coming? I'd like to see you. You see, we neglect the body of Christ. Paul says, don't forsake yourself from the assembling with God's people. But it's not just about coming into the room with us. It's about being a part of us. It's about helping one another. It's about serving one another. And as we think about what true fellowship is, it's a thing that God provides us in his body that is meant to minister to us, to produce and nurture joy and contentment in the Lord and the sufficiency in Christ. The peace that guards the heart and mind, that we are reminded that the true peace comes from knowing Jesus Christ and in him crucified. And that there is a strength here to draw from by prayer and supplication. But when you connect to God's people, it produces joy. This is on our website, and we wrote it, the board wrote it, to be in true fellowship, it says is to share and dedicate consistent, intentional involvement in the lives of other members of the body for the purpose of caring for, encouraging, and supporting one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we help each other grow in faith and godliness, spurring each other on to love and good works. Fellowship is the practical daily living out of the fact that we belong to one another. Fellowship is about being together with the body. That's number one. Fellowship, true fellowship. Paul says, I am well supplied. I'm amply supplied by that true fellowship. And he rejoices over it. But the second thing is when you're connected to a healthy community, you're encouraged to keep going. They'll help you get going down the road and keep going. That when you need something and you need help, you need to talk to someone, there's someone to reach out to. And Paul says, I am amply supplied by your true concern. Notice the blessing of the generosity. He says something very interesting in this verse. It blesses what happens when somebody is generous to God's people or to God's ministry. It, number one, it blesses the ministry or person receiving the gifts. Look at verse 18. He says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. I mean, this is where people are living, like our missionaries out on the field, and they get a gift from us, or someone sends them a note of encouragement. It helps them to keep going. It blesses them because it's part of the true fellowship. But it also helps them to keep going. It encourages them. It's nurtured through the body of Christ. And so Paul is celebrating this, and what we celebrate, we replicate. In other words, we encourage it to keep going, to keep happening. Second thing is that God is blessed by the gift. Paul said the gifts you sent in verse 18 are a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So God is blessed when we give to a person in ministry or to a ministry. And number three, the giver of the gift is blessed when they give the money. Paul tells them in verse 19, my God will supply every need according to his riches in glory in Christ. If you look there in that chapter, in verse 18, he says, I have received full payment. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift of fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs. And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Can you imagine what that must have felt like for them to hear that? To hear that kind of encouragement from him? The giver of the gift is blessed by God. And that God says it comes with a promise that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ. And I heard this from David Jeremiah, and I like it. It's where he talked about if you had $100 and you gave someone a dollar or $10, you gave out of what you had. You gave out of your money. But if you had $100 and you gave out according to your riches, how much more would that gift be? He said that God gives us according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And so there's like this sense of the opening of the well that it flows up out of us when we give with the right reasons. Not only are we blessed, but the people that we give to are blessed and encouraged to go on. But God is blessed by our giving. And our God, my God, Paul says, will supply all your needs. Paul was confident in that. No matter what our situation is, God will supply all of our needs. So Paul says, I've learned to be content. Number one, trusting in God's provision, whatever, wherever place he puts me. It comes from learning from relying on God's strength and not my own. And it's nurtured by a family of God that I belong to. Somebody, a family of God that provides for me. And he closes with this statement, greet every saint in Jesus Christ. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. And all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. That's an interesting statement. These are the people that Paul had been shackled to. These are the people that got saved by his ministry. And the grace of the Lord Jesus will be with you. Jeremiah said, if you think he was complaining, here's what most prisoners complain about. I don't belong here. I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't think Paul would probably ever talked about any of that. He said he was so committed to telling people about Jesus Christ in this moment he had with these men to make sure he used every moment that at the end he can send greetings to the Philippians from all the people that got saved in Caesar's household. That he won them over in Christ because he was content in every situation. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have been content in that situation. But Paul says God's grace is sufficient and that we can learn to be content in any and every situation if we'll just trust in God's provision, rely on God's strength, and nurture it in the family of God. We too can learn to be content. Let's be content. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that you've given us, trusting in your provision and knowing that Christ will strengthen us and your encouragement through the family of God we belong to. We thank you for this family. We pray, Lord, for our body of Christ that is here. We ask, Lord, for your help for them. We look to you now for your blessing on us, that you are our God. You are my God that will supply all of our needs, Lord. May you supply the needs of those that are sitting here today right now. Something that they need a pat on the back. They need encouragement. They need love. They need some money. They need something to help them get down the road. Something that they truly need, Lord. Would you please give it to them? Would you also please give us contentment in Christ? And in Christ alone, as we come to your cross, as we look to the cross in these future days here, we ask, Lord, that we know that our sufficiency is found in Jesus Christ and no other, that he has to be at the center of our lives. As we think about our lives, we ask for you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Here are the words of the benediction. I also want to pray for Susan Finley. She's going to have a surgery coming up. Lord God, we just ask for your help. We pray for Susan's surgery to go well. We thank you, Lord, that Ed Miller is doing well from his surgery. We pray for his headaches to go away, but he continues to get better. But we lift up Susan, who's going to have spinal surgery, and we pray for her and just ask for you to watch over as she travels to Texas to have that surgery. We pray that the back is restored. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory of the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless.